May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it was one of the strangest, and I have to say, consequential exchanges of my young life. My team leader in the organization I was working with, a woman of maturity at 27 years old, I was a mere pup at 21, came up to me and said, "While I was praying, I got the strong impression that you should get ready for marriage. You will meet your future wife within 6 months." That last sentence is a direct quote. Now, it was like time stood still. I was aware that my impression of this woman's intelligence and care was crashing into what seemed out of character, weird, off-putting. And yet I couldn't deny that inside of me there was this visceral sense of hope, of something coming alive, something that I had kind of repressed. For a moment, I really was in what the psychologists call liminal space. Now, one of the amazing things is that something that just took me about 30 seconds to explain, because it happens in our amazing human brains, actually was like that. In that brief moment, after what my leader said, my brain and heart kind of went whoomph, connected, and I heard myself say, "Wow!" And I decided in that second to trust her. She had been trustworthy in the past. Why not now? So the trust was manifested as prayer. Prayer and working on my character, because God knows I needed it and still do. Working on our character is a lifelong endeavor, something that never gets completed. But she had said, "Get ready." Those two words are at the theological heart of our readings today, and they are at the heart of the beginning of the church year, the season of Advent. Now, those of us who have observed Advent for many years or in the past are probably familiar that it comes from the Latin word, which means the coming. And because we live after the fact, we know what's coming. I mean, we know who's coming. And so the existential alertness, if you will, of getting ready loses a lot of its punch. Or some of its punch. It's hard to get ready for something that's already happened. Each season of the year points to a fundamental facet on the diamond that is salvation. Each facet reflects the light of that diamond slightly differently. Advent is the first season, the beginning. Maybe even more accurately, it's before the beginning, if you will. I mentioned in my midweek update this past week that the Hebrew scriptures start not with creation as such, but in the time when God is getting ready for creation, in the darkness and chaos just before. And then this before time becomes ritualized in Israel's life in the weekly observance of the Sabbath, which, as you know, begins shortly after the sun goes down the evening before. That is, it begins in the dark. And then the Christian church, seeing this, seeing how the Bible as a whole started, seeing how Israel ritualized that chaotic beginning, decided to do the same for the Christian year. The church was birthed, of course, in the Northern Hemisphere, and so at the darkest time of the year, we begin. To say what the obvious, before any sort of coming, no one has come yet. Before there is light, there is the dark. The Judeo-Christian tradition does something so interesting with this, though. It's not like there is a belief that nothing is happening. Before creation, the breath of God, same word in the Hebrew for Spirit of God, is brooding over the primal chaos, the deep, the dark. Before the coming one, who will redeem Israel, the prophets announce this coming. They spell it out with metaphors, metaphors of God's intention. Some of the most beautiful in all of literature are found in today's reading from Isaiah. Swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks, that which will harvest fruit rather than burn down trees and homes. It's just this amazing contrast to what life in the Iron Age would have been like when every spring the kings went out to war. Of course, it's still incredibly contrastive to what the world experiences at any epoch, as we know from today's realities. And here's the thing. Before creation, if you could have been that proverbial fly on the wall, you would have had no idea what God was about to do. If you were reading Isaiah's poetry in 600 before the Common Era, you wouldn't have been able to tag this poetry to any historical event that would come after. What would have happened, however, is that you would have felt yourself called to a way of being, to a stance of trust in God's promise. Called to a trust that manifests in alertness, in preparedness, in anticipatory readiness, which is a very good definition of faith. And these are all necessary for us to effectively participate in the life that God is bringing about. I was searching for a metaphor that we might all be able to connect with. And maybe that's a bad pun after you hear my illustration. For those of you that have played ball, you know that your body is getting ready for the pitch before the ball is thrown. Right? If you don't, you're not able to hit the ball. There's a spring-like readiness as your body coils in anticipation of the muscles releasing at just the right moment. Because you believe that the pitcher isn't faking it, the pitcher is actually going to throw that ball your way. Now, when you're playing ball, you're in the game. You can see the pitcher. You can feel the weight of the bat in your hand. And you believe that a pitch is adventus, coming your way. But spiritual readiness is more fraught than that. It requires belief in what we do not yet see. And most of the time, what we don't see scares us. And so we default to dark visions. Spiritual readiness, though, involves moving from, or at least holding at bay, this defensiveness, this sense of the dark vision, if you will, this fight or flight mentality. We, you see, on a natural plane, think that to get ready, to prepare, is to get ready for the bad, for the disaster, for that which cannot be trusted. And so we have preparedness rituals. We go to the muster point to prepare for a fire. We get underneath the desk to prepare for the big one. And, you know, it's not bad to do so. Our governments are right to set aside money to mitigate disasters like we just experienced last year. And for those of us here in this room, which is quite a lot of us who have experienced trauma, this fight or flight instinct is constantly lurking. We find it hard without healing to imagine any other kind of readiness. Now, in an attempt to overcome the fact that we know who's coming, making that attempt to get ready a moot point, the church did something very clever. It gave to Advent a dual focus. To prepare for the one who had come, and to prepare for the one who would come again. In the words of our scriptures today, the Son of Man coming at an unexpected hour, the last judgment, the second coming. The problem with that cleverness and that dual focus means that at first glance, the beginning season of the church year tends to reinforce our defensiveness. A surface reading of the language of judgment has tended to focus people on the fear of being shown up as failures, as sinners. And so the message ends up becoming kind of the religious equivalent of Santa Claus is coming to town. Right? You remember the lyrics? Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. But the truth is, Israel didn't understand what it meant in reality that one who would come, who would enact and make real the heart of God for universal peace. Didn't understand that the first time. And Christians do not understand now what we are to make of the biblical metaphors of the second coming. What we do need to reckon with is that in comparison to what we're presently experiencing, which throughout the scriptures is described as a kind of darkness, what is coming will be like day in its brightness. And the reality of our present life, however wonderful, is like sleep, Paul says, in comparison to the waking that is to come. Now, these are powerfully positive images, if I can put it that way. As psychology has come to teach us, and theology that is worth its salt, we understand now that it is faith, hope, and love that actually motivate us to change. It isn't fear. It isn't anxious fear of judgment. Somehow we've gotten it into our minds, many Christians have at least, that the character of God represented in Jesus Christ when he came the first time, God for us, right, Emmanuel, becomes at the second coming God against us. The God of revenge, who's going to show up the world and make all things right. But that is not how God operates. God will not change in character from what God has revealed in Jesus, the first coming. It is the hopeful nature of our faith. The images in Scripture, like Paul unpacks for us in our second reading today, that help me take seriously the admonition that Paul gives to lay aside the work of darkness and put on the armor of light and to put on Jesus Christ. Not from fear, but because I want to. I think we all want to truly wake up. 37 years ago, I had a fundamental choice. Would I prepare myself for love? Would I prepare my character to reciprocate love? If I had scoffed and said, that's bat you know what crazy, I would have not overcome my defensiveness. I would have sabotaged the process by not believing I was capable that I was able or capable of being loved by someone amazing, as my wife, Denise, turned out to be. You see, I was a person of great self-doubt. I didn't believe I could be loved in the way that my leader was suggesting I needed to make myself ready for. Florence and the Machine's lyrics speak of what I felt. Regrets collect like old friends, here to relive your darkest moments. I can see no way, I can see no way, and all the ghouls come out to play. Without my leader, Alison Clark's words, I would have doubted myself to the point of shutting myself off from love, lest my heart get hurt. What she did for me that day was what this season of Advent and the scriptures associated with it are meant to do. Help us prepare for a God who's coming to us in love, trusting that by getting ready for it, we will wake up from the dream of self-denial, self-loathing, and self-doubt into the confident acceptance of our identity as ones who are beloved of God, and because beloved of God, able to be lovers of God, lovers of our neighbors, and those who fulfill God's purpose in and through our actions. Get ready for swords into plowshares, really? Yes. It's always darkest, just before the dawn.